Amen. We scripture reading, prayer, songs, the Lord's table, the offering, this opportunity. If you have your Bibles with me, please turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. So I have 29 to 31, so hopefully you have your Bible so you can get 28 too. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, and not faint. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that you might open these scriptures, that we might be able to gain the truth from it, that we might be able to gain the application of how we can use it in our lives. Help us as we strive to live for you and amongst the challenges of being in this flesh, on this earth, recognizing that there is a destination, that we have a place in heaven stored for us, and yet we're pilgrims here right now, Lord. We're still journeying here in this land, awaiting that ultimate day where you're going to come and judge the world and judge all those who've ever lived. And afterward, Lord, we will be able to reign with you forevermore. Help us, guide us, and keep us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I call this finding strength in weakness, finding strength in weakness. The book of Isaiah was written during a very tumultuous period in Israel's history. The people of Israel had been conquered by the Babylonians. This had already been something that God had continued to warn them over and over and over and over again. And yet, finally, God took his hand of protection off of Israel and allowed the Babylonians to come in. They were taken into exile, Jerusalem laid in ruins. And the Israelites were suffering from physical, emotional, and even probably spiritual exhaustion also. Weary because of years of war and displacement and oppression. And many of them had even lost hope in the future. And that's why at the very beginning, verse 1, the very first thing that he says is to comfort my people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your Lord. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. As Isaiah 40 was written to offer hope, encouragement to Israelites at this time. And the chapter goes on to describe that the power of God. You know, one of the things about oftentimes we see this even with Peter. Remember when he was in the boat, and not even in the boat, actually when he was out of the boat, walking on water. And all of a sudden, power, standing, walking on this water, and he shifted his gaze. He focused on the storm, and what started to happen? He started to sink. And he took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. You know, all of us, you know, need to keep our eyes on the Lord and on his power and his strength and his direction and his love and his grace and his mercy. And those are the things that continue to keep us fueled. But it's hard sometimes when, if we're just honest, it's hard sometimes when you're going through some stuff. You don't always have that praise on your heart. We ought to. Sometimes life and the challenges of life kind of just come down and just drop down upon us. They weigh us down so much. The chapter shows the power of God, his majesty over all of the world, and reminds the Israelites and reminds us in turn that God, even when we're going through troubled times and heavy situations in our life, there is a comfort. There are some things that we ought to start thinking about. And today, as we're looking at verses 28 to 31, Isaiah reminds the Israelites and us that God is the source of strength and that we ought to put our trust in him. We ought to rely on his power. We ought to find renewed strength in spite of all the issues that we're going through in life. So as we read and study this passage today, I want us to not only look at how it affected Israelites, but especially also how we can apply it in our own lives also. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel powerless sometimes. I'm kind of looking at all the things that are around me, and sometimes it's just so heavy. You got sickness, you got family issues, you have, you know, medical issues. I mean, whatever the issue is, all of it starts to weigh down you on so much. You remember where it said that there was a person that was praising God, and he hung up his harp, hung up his source of being able to praise God and be thankful and be able to sing praises unto the Lord. In other words, what he was really saying is, look, there's so much going on, and this was as this Babylonian exile was happening, and they were saying, look, sing us the songs of Jerusalem, but he had hung up his harps. Why? Because of the stress and everything that was going on. As he's looking at Jerusalem, he said, how can I sing in a strange land? How can I have, really what he's saying is, I have no reason to sing. I have no reason to hope. And that's exactly where we find ourselves this morning, recognizing that, first of all, that is a lie. Always have a reason to hope. If you're a Christian, because what's the worst? The worst that can happen to us is that we check out of this life. And I don't know if your Bible says the same thing, but my Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present the Lord. And so there was a reward greater than any suffering that is down here. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons the book of Revelation was written, to offer us hope in the midst of all the tragedy, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the affliction, to give us something to look forward to that is greater than what you're going through right now. And that's what was happening right here. They were looking at their circumstance, looking at the fact they were exiled, looking at they're in a strange land and all that, remembering Jerusalem and everything that was around and all the devastation that had happened. And sometimes there's no joy because of all the affliction. And yet, there's always something to praise God about. Let's see how we can find this strength even in our weakest moments. First of all, we need to recognize our weaknesses. In order to find strength, you have to really look at the fact that I'm not capable. Because this is the lie. I'm enough. I'm strong enough. Wise enough, creative enough. I am enough. And if you see what the problem is right now, it is the I is the problem. It's not me. We have to tap into something greater than ourselves, because there are limits. There are limits to our creativity. There are limits to our abilities. There are limits to that. But one thing about our God is our God is unlimited. He doesn't think like you think. He doesn't act like you think. And thank God for that. Amen. Yeah. And me too. Thank God he doesn't act like me. Because anyway, what we need to do is recognize, look, we have limitations where God has none. Verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. In other words, he meets us in our weakness. He provides for us in our lowest moments. He gives to us at the greatest opportunity. I mean, when we have our greatest needs, here is God. You know, I was thinking about Moses. Moses was given this great responsibility to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you remember when God was having a conversation with Moses, how Moses felt. Moses felt inadequate. He didn't feel like he was capable, that he had enough. He felt low. He lacked confidence in his own abilities. He felt also there was great fear of Pharaoh, fear of what would happen, how it would impact the Israelites. I mean, if anybody knew about Pharaoh, it was Moses. If anybody knew how strong their armies were, it was Moses. And so maybe he had this lack of confidence in his own abilities, a fear of Pharaoh, a fear of rejection for the Israelites. Remember when Moses left. And after he had killed the guard, he ran and he left. And for a while, he's away from the community. And now you're sending me back to these people? What are they going to say? What should I tell them? Who should I tell them sent me? Because I don't have no authority. And you remember, right? You tell them, I am sent you. He had a fear of failure probably, and fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? And I think all of us can see ourselves in there also, right? I mean, when God gives us this great charge, I know for myself, I look and I go, sometimes I'm still looking in the mirror, amazed. Man, look at what God has done and been able to do in my life. And I hope you're doing the same thing in your own. Look at how God rose me. I'm here not because Domingo's so great. I'm here because God is so great. We're here as one church, not because we've done something so wonderful and no, but because God is so wonderful. God opens these doors and he gives us these things that none of us deserve. That's what's that called? His grace and mercy. His grace he gives to us. And so God provided the strength Moses needed in his moments of weakness. God will do the same for us. Second, we need to rely on God's power. Once we recognize that weakness, the next step is to turn to God for that strength. That means acknowledging that we cannot do it on our own. I need thee. Song, I need thee, what? Every hour. Isaiah 40, 30, 31 says, even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Relying on God's power. You know, this is a beautiful, beautiful promise that God's going to provide us the strength that we need to keep going. And even when we feel we can't take another step, he's here to re-energize us. I think about a rechargeable battery. And this is really the Christian life. Christian life, man, we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, and we are just energized and ready to tell the world about everything that's going on. And I don't know about you, but the longer you've been in, the more that excitement and stuff has started to subside. And instead of just going, you know, early on, it's just rocket ship. Oh, man, I'm energized. And then after a while, this is the Christian life. You get moments. You get moments where you got it. And then you get moments where, and then you come to a realization again. You go, oh, man, I got to come back, you know. And then you're back on that again. And this is, you know what? This is just typical of life. It's typical of life. But think about that great day that is coming. Think about the reward. You know, what helps you get past the pain? The reward. What helps a woman who's been in labor for 9 months and has to go through this excruciating pain and all of the different ups and downs that go along with it? What helps them to get through day by day? There is a reward. And when you see that baby crying in your hands and loving you and you loving on him or her, then you know that it was well worth whatever you had to go through in order to get to that point. And that's how heaven is going to be for us. That the suffering that we endure here, the pains that you're going through right now, nothing is going to compare to this great reward that we have, that God has in store for us. But the reality is, man, we're living in this flesh right now. We're living in this body right now. We're going, and I'm not talking about flesh and spirit. I'm saying just we're human. We feel. We hurt. We agonize over what's happening now and over the future. I mean, there are just a lot of things that are on our plate right now. And sometimes, like Peter, what we do is we take our focus off God and we look at our plate. The problems that we have right here. And just like Peter, as we continue to focus more on this, we begin to sink in despair and depression and negative thinking and things of that nature, moving away from God until it's like, hold on a second, I gotta tap in. I gotta realize that it's not me that sustains me. I'm a rechargeable battery that needs to get plugged back in once again. That's the key. Look, getting drained, that's part of the process. That's part of life. The ups and downs are part of it. But the important part is recognizing when you're on that down or when you hit rock bottom already and realizing, look, all I can do now is look up. Look to God for my source of strength to continue moving forward. See, that person diagnosed with a serious illness, you can rely on God's power to give you strength, even through this difficult process. Person struggling with a challenging subject, and you've been praying, you've been asking God, keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking. I have a Jesus that said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. And every illustration he gave us for that was never that you just ask and it's given. No, that you ask and you keep asking. What that means is just because you ask one time doesn't mean God's going to give it to you at that moment. We're not on our timetable. We're on his timetable. But in that prayer, and continuing to communicate with him, we are tapping into, you know, this God's power to sustain us one more moment. Well, how? Well, here's how. When I get down in prayer, when I'm talking to God, when I ask God, what I'm really doing is taking my burdens and leaving them there at his feet. I don't know about you. If you ever had like, we used to in wrestling or sports and stuff like that, sometimes we would actually put weights on us in order to tone us up. So you probably put the ankle weights on and weights here and there, you know, to add more weight to. So when you're working out, you're really working a lot harder. But I want you to think about that as just part of life. And then at some point in prayer, you're able to take those weights off and leave them there. And how do you feel? You're going to walk a little different when 50 pounds are off you. As a matter of fact, you're going to run a lot different with that. And that's really what he's saying. Look, I can come and give you the strength that you need to get past all the burdens and problems that are weighing you down. But the Lord is saying, look, you got to come to me. You've already shown that you are incapable, that we are incapable of holding it and doing it and carrying it and all ourselves. And so we've got to trust God. Facing a financial hardship, you can turn to God. Facing struggles and addictions, you can rely on God. Leaders that are facing difficult decisions at home, at church, and at your job, you can rely on God. Power to sustain you even in the weakest of moments. How does that look? Well, look what he says in verse 28. Let's go backward. Trust in God's plan and timing. The Lord, Isaiah 40, 28, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is in control. That's just another way of saying it. God's in control. God has all power. Read Isaiah 40 in its completion. You will see that the writer is really stressing the sovereignty of God, the power of God, not just in our lives, but in the universe. God is all powerful. And understanding that, you know, when we start thinking about our own selves and in our own, as I stated earlier, we all have our own limits. And if you compare the two, you go, well, hold on. I need to focus more. I need to rest more. I need to rely more on him than I do on myself, because he's greater. Isaiah 55, just, 15 more chapters, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we find ourselves in these challenging situations in our lives, will we trust God in the middle of it? In the middle of it. Will we do like Peter and look away and start to drift and start to sink? Or will we continue looking at God in the midst of the storm? In the midst of the raging seas, in the midst of it, will we continue to rely on God and trust that he's going to see us through? I mean, you remember those three Hebrew boys? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? They were worshipers of God, and they weren't going to let anybody stop that. And yet their greatest test came by them being faithful to God. They were going to, you know, they refused to bow down to this false God and false idols. And yet they're being thrown into this fiery pit. And you remember what they said? Look, first of all, we're not going to renounce our faith. We believe God will raise us up even out of it. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to this image of King Nebuchadnezzar, this idol, this gold a statue. We will not. They believed, first of all, God would save them, even in the midst of fire, which he did. But yet they were resolved that whatever God's plan is, see, this is where they bring God into it. God doesn't operate like I want him to operate. He operates the way he operates because he's God. And so even in the statement they made, they're saying, look, we believe God is going to do this, but I don't have a full understanding and knowledge of everything what God is doing, but I'm going to trust in God's plan. And that's where we are. Even when you're going through and we're, you know, you're having those Job moments and trying to think how did I get here, or the situation around is just kind of really weighing down on us. We look to God. There's a woman here. You see this picture here of this lady in the wheelchair. Her name is Joni Tada. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I kind of like it that way. Ta-da. All right. A woman who became paralyzed after she went diving in a diving accident at the age of 17 years old. Any 17-year-olds out here? So, who's close? All right, there we go. Someone, how old are you, DJ? Huh? So, okay, well, we got one. Why don't you raise your hand? No, just DJ's age, 17 years old, diving in. You know how much life he has in him right now? You know how much future, what we're looking for, you know, toward his future and all that. Everything changed for her in that moment. I don't know what you would do, but I put myself in that situation and I go, man, that would be something that would really challenge me and my view on God at that moment, probably. And not saying she didn't. But despite the challenges that she had to endure, she turned to God. Instead of turning away from him, she turned to God. And she found strength even in her weakness. She became a Christian author, a speaker, an advocate for people with disabilities. She founded an organization called Joni and Friends to provide support and resource for people with disabilities and their own families. And here's the key. The perspective she had afterward. She said, God permits what he hates in order to accomplish what he loves. He permits what he hates. I mean, there's pain. Looking and seeing your child in pain. Looking and seeing your child in distress. None of us ever want that. But yet, when you see the bigger picture, I mean, first of all, you see her attitude was, look, how can I use where I am in a way to glorify God? Yes, it's not nothing anyone signs up for. No one signs up to be paralyzed. But she finds herself in a situation, and I'm sure it was a struggle. I mean, it looks good now on paper, and because we see the end. We see what it's produced. But going through that production line had to be pretty tough. Yet now she goes, look, even what was done to me, even what happened to me, rather, even all of this, I can use this to glorify God, and I won't curse his name. I won't deny him. I won't run from him. She ran to him. She ran to him. And he gave a purpose even in this situation. Life is just rough. I mean, it has its ups and downs. It stings us sometimes, some of the things that happen. And one thing that the world doesn't have that we have is a shelter in the time of our storms. We have a real place of refuge. We have a God that cares and loves us. And not only our situation now, he's providing for something for us even greater in this life to come. Won't you serve him? Won't you love him? Won't you live for him? Won't you rely on him and his strength? He desires to strengthen you even in your weakest moments. He desires to give you his strength. And that's exactly what he did on that cross. In our weakest moments, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, Christ died for us. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you need to tap into God's saving power this morning. You recognize you're far away from God, and you need his saving power to restore you into relationship with him. Look, the journey itself is tough enough. But if you're walking it yourself, I mean, think about walking a long journey all by yourself. But here we have the Lord walking with us because we're in relationship with him. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you're not in relationship yet. This is your opportunity. This is your call. This is your opportunity to make things right, to surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples to go out and preach this gospel to the world, and they did. They brought this message, a saving message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and Peter preached that message in Acts chapter 2, and people asked. Verse 37, they said they were pricked in their hearts. After they heard this compelling message, they were moved within themselves. They were pricked in their heart, cut to the heart. They said, what do we need to do? And Peter didn't give them all these complicated things that we hear nowadays. You got five different Christian sects saying five different things about what we need to do. Peter plainly told them, and that's why we just want to, I just want to say what Peter said. I just want to say what Jesus said. I just want to say what they said in the Word of God. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He says, promises for you. It's for your children. It's for all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's saying this is a universal command for all mankind. He said it, and then he continued preaching it, and he continued to come across people that needed to know, and he continued saying the same thing. Paul said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. Philip, and when he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, same thing. You see the same results. Here's the word. Convicted in his heart, goes down in the water grave, goes on his way rejoicing. These are the examples we see in the Word of God. And so that's why we share these with you today. Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you surrender to him in baptism today? Allow him to wash away your sins. As Romans 6 tells us, we'll get up out of that water grave as a new creature. You're going to be a new creature, new walk of life. You'll be new. I'll just put it like that. It's not coming to me for some reason. You'll be new in him. Won't you come be made new in him today as we stand and we sing a song of invitation?